We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did roam, drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken. I wanna go home. So hoist up the giant beast sail. See how the mainsail sets. Call for the captain ashore. Let me go home. Let me go home. I wanna go home. Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel so broke up. I wanna go home. The first mate, he got drunk, broken the captain's drum. The constable had to come and take him away. Sheriff John Stone, why don't you leave me alone? Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel so broke up.
Morning. You're here at WGXC, and this is Tom DiPietro. I'm here on this special occasion to discuss the waterfront, the Hudson waterfront. Not the waterfront on the other side of the river, but right here in Hudson, New York. Before we get started, let me tell you that we will shortly be joined by Patrick Doyle, who many of you know, long the owner of the Basilica and a local activist. In the studio right now, well, let me, we have Tim O'Connor.
Timothy O'Connor.
Tim, can you speak right into the,
right.
Put it right in front of your face.
Timothy O'Connor.
Timothy O'Connor. And Tim, can you tell us who you are? What's your connection to the waterfront?
Co-founder with Chris Reed.
Who's also here.
And Patrick Doyle and others of the South Bay Task Force.
South Bay Task Force.
Which was organized to sort of study the LWRP. By the way, great intro tune. Thank you, Tom.
Perfect. Yeah, that was a last minute thought. The question to begin with, let's start. What is the South Bay Task Force? Chris, you want to get up close to the microphone also?
Sure.
Yeah. You can move
Chris Reed of Friends of Hudson and the South Bay Task Force.
Yeah.
The task force, now you say, was organized in response to the LWRP. Let's have a good definition of that acronym. How about just an accurate definition?
Local Waterfront Revitalization Program or Plan.
Okay, and who initiated that plan?
You want to go into that?
No, you should go into that. After you.
Well, this has been an object of study since about 2005 by the city of Hudson. They set up a waterfront steering committee to do a plan. It's a state-mandated instrument for local planning of the waterfront that once it's a process has gone through and all the I's are dotted and so forth, it becomes a mechanism for municipalities to receive various kinds of grants. And so it's a kind of way to induce communities across the state of New York that have waterfront issues to really think proactively about what they want to do with their waterfront in a very intentional way.
Can I give it a shot?
One second.
It's not really mandated.
I was just going to ask you that. It's not mandated. Is it voluntary?
It's voluntary, but there are certain kinds of protocols that you do in order to actually have a successful WRP.
So it is voluntary, and the idea is that it allows you to then go to the state for various types of funding and grants?
And the state has to go to the federal government. So it starts with the Coastal Zone Management Act in 1972, which allows for any state with a recognized, authorized coastal program to have federal authority kind of handed down to it. Now, in a home rule state like New York, we have this local waterfront revitalization program, which allows the state, in a home rule state, to hand down that same authority to a municipality. And this is where there are certain mandates about public having to be a part of that process through CECRA.
Yeah, and please describe what CECRA is.
CECRA is the State Environmental Quality Review Act, which it presides over. It's a process, both a series of steps, and it's a substantive kind of a thing, which as you take each step, it tells you what you have to do next. So it's kind of substantive in that way. It's to be applied wherever any government agency at any level does any action in New York State.
So before you can finalize your LWRP, you have to have the CECRA. CECRA.
That's right.
And S-E-Q-R-A?
S-E-Q-R-A, okay. State Environmental Quality Review Act, requires an environmental impact statement. In this case, because the LWRP is a kind of a comprehensive plan, it's not kind of, it's a gigantic comprehensive plan, we had a generic environmental impact statement.
So that plan is required by the federal government or the state government?
State.
State government.
Yeah.
And that they need the CECRA in order to finalize the LWRP?
Yeah, they need CECRA in order to finalize anything. But they've finished with what we'll call the GEIS for the
and
remainder of this conversation.
And that is?
That's the generic environmental impact statement. And you can ask me anytime.
We're in a sea of acronyms with this whole...
It's awful.
I'm relatively new to Hudson, which is to say I've been on and off here for about 8 years, and I've been trying to follow the whole waterfront controversy, and it's very difficult. By the way, do you acknowledge your online persona? Can I mention
it? No.
Okay. Okay.
Too many weird people around, you know?
Okay. But I follow it on Gossips of Rivertown.
Thank you. Great.
And... but sometimes I get very confused because there is a long history here, and that's why I'm hoping we can walk through it.
May I say something?
Sure.
Those acronyms and that sea of confusion and all these different levels of government and policies are being used against the public to confuse us and to obfuscate these issues and to remove it from our ken, which is just plain wrong.
Well, you've recently published under your name a long explanation for why you think we should not allow our city to gain control of an essential property.
That's right.
On the waterfront. Before we get to that, the LWRP doesn't just apply to the property we're going to discuss. It's certain, 10 acres altogether, 10 or so acres?
Just under 10 acres.
In the South Bay.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we'll discuss, but that's in the South Bay, yeah.
Now, but the LWRP applies to the entire Hudson waterfront, correct?
The whole coastal zone of Hudson, yeah.
Now, the North Bay, as I understand, is already protected or not?
Well, that's under a whole different program. that's under the Significant Coastal Fish and Wildlife Habitat program of the Department of State's Division of Coastal Resources. And so a significant habitat, we'll call it a SIGHAB. Mm-hmm. And the Stockport Creek SIGHAB, it's actually got a longer name. It comes down all the way to Fergery in the North Bay, all the way to Dock Street, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
For those who don't know, Fergery is
that's another issue. That's a boat club that's been down at the at Dock Street since the 19th century.
But whose legal status has long been in question and then was finally pushed out.
Ownership was in question, and ownership of the land that the city built its wastewater treatment plant on was in question until last year. So, in fact, the city and Fergery were squatters for over a century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
now it's all been handed to the city by the state.
So the state was the true owner.
The state went back last year, and they decided that the original 1785 land grant from the New York State Legislature had been misunderstood. So they reinterpreted the original land grant to the proprietors. Wow.
Okay. So the North Bay was protected through...
The SIGHAB.
The SIGHAB.
Yeah.
Who initiated the SIGHAB?
The state. Also, the State Division of Coastal Resources, the same agency that presides over LWRPs. What they did last August is they designated a new SIGHAB, the South Bay Creek and Marsh Significant Coastal Fish and Wildlife Habitat.
They being the state.
They being the Division of Coastal Resources, yeah. And this is all under the Commerce Department, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It's under NOAA and then the Commerce Department at the federal level.
NOAA is?
National Oceanographic and Atmospheric.
Did you just say African? Okay. Atmospheric. I agree.
Okay, so what part of... Now, so you're saying part of the South Bay is now protected?
A good part. Most
a good
of
part.
It. Almost
most
all of it.
Almost all of it. Yeah. So at controversy here, then, is the remaining part currently in private hands?
Well, yeah, there are a few misunderstandings. The city would like to base its... the city's kind of desperate at the moment.
We are the city.
Well, thank you for reminding us. That's right. I hope that people will remind the representatives soon and often.
It's like talking about the Catholic Church. You know, it's not Rome. It's the people in the church, you know.
Vatican II, people nothing. So
anyway,
in this case, the...
I figured you'd get that.
I'm a Catholic too. So in this case, the city would like to move forward, is rather desperate to close this deal, which is falling apart on them. Mm-hmm. And we'll discuss that later and why it's conditional that we get that land in order to preserve this really botched document, the LWRP. But they don't want to, I'll just say they for the moment, don't want to recognize the South Bay SIGHAB. A whole new set of regulatory policies and guidelines has kicked in since the LWRP was finalized. That's what we have to focus on.
Okay, before that, let me ask you this. How could they, if it's a state-mandated SIGHAB,
yes,
significant habitat.
All right, you can say that. Yeah.
How can the city ignore it?
Great question. They can ignore it by having us ignore it, by having us ignore that it's an issue. And then they'll just go ahead and move ahead with acquiring the land, getting the LWRP. And at that point, when we have an authorized LWRP, then the significant habitat and all coastal what are called consistency review issues, Patrick will be great at discussing that. Those get, I'll be quick here, those get folded under the city's consistency review authority. So we would take the city, rather, a three-member appointed board by the mayor, three people appointed by the mayor, will have consistency review authority over the state and the federal government where the SIGHAB and all coastal issues are concerned. That's what people need to know.
So can they go against the rules of the significant habitat?
Because all of these are policies. They're not rules. It's really very inspirationally democratic, the way that the power gets handed down from the federal to the state, from the state to the municipality, from the municipality to the people.
I mean, to just cut in quickly, I read your piece, and I have to say I'm personally a true localist. So, of course, it goes against my grain to think that we would have to have the state and the feds prefer the state and the feds deal with this issue.
It's perfect in this way. It's democratically it favors democracy because we adapt all those policies of federal and state to local needs, requirements, customs, all those types of things. And it's almost too idealistic because it doesn't work. Right above the echelon of the people, citizens and residents, and actually an LWRP applies to everyone in the county, even in Greene County. This is about the river and about anyone who uses the river. So you don't have to be a resident of Hudson to belong in this thing.
Could you hold on a second? I think that's Patrick, and I'm going to put him in on the phone if I can.
I'll finish that thought.
Patrick? Excuse me? hold on one second.
Well, that wasn't Patrick. Patrick, if you're listening. Oh, I'm going to be set up with Patrick in a short second here.
Hey.
Our indefatigable employee, one of the few employees here at Hands On Radio, and you're getting a good experience of Hands On Radio right now as Jess Puglisi sets me up with Skype and we get Patrick in the mix.
Can I finish that last
Sure, time? Please. Let's
is
go
it,
on.
Is it just above the level of the public, there's a huge opportunity for local municipalities to commandeer the entire process. So what it does is, this idealistic democratic thing, is that it supports local boss rule, and there's no way to fix it, except unless the people fix it.
Yeah, that's a little strong, because, of course, we can fix it if
that's
we
right.
vote out the people.
Man, I like your thinking. Wow.
No, it's just, you know, I...
You read my piece closely, too. Thank you.
Actually, I read it twice.
Thank you.
Because I wanted to be prepared for this, and really understand why you would think it would be better for the state to be in control of this.
For now.
For now.
Yeah. Old dead air. Shall I hum? Do you see Patrick?
No, I need to call him. Oh,
9-6-5. Yeah, yeah. Let me give you my mom's number instead.
Well, they're working this out, Tim. What I don't really think we want to do is go into the history of what you've characterized as duplicity on the part of the town, because you know that gets us obviously nowhere.
Yes. Let's move forward.
The Eldar, at this point, as I understand it, the obstacle to finalizing the LWRP is this 10 or so acres in the South Bay, correct?
And two other conditions, actually.
Oh, okay.
Something called a conservation easement along the causeway or the berm or the dike, we used to call it before it was a true road.
Mm-hmm.
And an easement, or right-of-way, rather, to get to that 10 acres. So there are three different things that are required.
Okay.
And this conservation easement is a euphemism, and there's nothing about conservation in it.
What do you mean?
It's not
You mean they've been given an easement through a conservation area? Is that?
Yeah, that's actually a better way of saying it. Yes. We're some reading is being done here. Notes are being passed.
Patrick, if you're listening to us.
No.
Oh, sorry. What?
Time for commercial, maybe.
We're gonna take a little break. I'll put on a little music just so we can get Patrick in the mix. Hold
Beach
on.
Beach Boys. Beach Boys.
Okay. Yes. More Beach Boys.
I'm on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around that town we did roam, drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken. I wanna go. Stop the John B. sail. See how the mainsail sails. Call for the captain ashore. Let me go home. Let me go home. I wanna go home. Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel so broke up. I wanna go home.
Hey, yes. We got you finally. Great. We'll bring you in this conversation. We have
I've
Patrick.
Got Skype. I've Skype on. It looks like you've tried to make a contact, and I don't know what's going on here.
We all can hear you.
We can hear you, Patrick.
Hey, everybody?
Video call I should put on, I guess.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We don't need to see your face.
Oh.
Not again.
We just need to hear your voice.
Okay, all right, fine.
Okay.
I've been listening to the show.
Okay, great. Is there anything you want to contribute so far, or any clarifications, or?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, the when you listen to Tim O'Connor and Chris Reed, you know that these are not only people that care, but are incredibly well informed. And there has always been a group of us citizens who have been much more informed than any of the officials, because we've had continuity, consistency, and we've done the research, and we're there. We're on the ground. So the whole thing...
I understand that, Patrick, but you know, you can't just argue from having more experience in that sense or being more committed. I mean, it's really going to come down to who's right. You know what I'm saying?
It comes down to who has the power.
No, that's not true, Tom. It's not about who's right. That's
really?
That's not what's going on here. That's not that.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not about. It can't be about personalities if this thing's going to get anywhere. You know what I mean?
No, but it's not about what's right. Truth and right is not what this is about. This is about a political process that is basically subjected by the home rule situation, mm-hmm. in which those in power at the moment, whatever moment it is, are the ones who can do whatever they want.
That's it.
I call it discretionary anarchy.
It's a tug of
war.
And
so, say it again.
It's a tug of war.
Tim.
I'm having trouble understanding you here.
Tim said it's a tug of war.
It's a tug of war. It is. But the thing is that the what's really right and what's truthful is that the beings that live in the South Bay and on the river and around it and everything, not just the human beings, are an integral part of what human beings need to have to exist. And so this coexistence that needs to be in the forefront is basically forgotten by the bureaucratic stuff.
Patrick, yeah. I understand that. I'm not sure I understand when you say we need this to exist. Explain why we need what you're saying we need to exist. What exactly do we need there to exist?
What we need is the protection and proper stewardship of the newly significant declared habitat that the state has of their own volition, done because of, in a lot of ways, probably due to Tim O'Connor's work in the South Bay Task Force, in revealing what actually is living there. It is about the living beings.
Okay.
And that's the reason it's called a significant
wildlife
habitat.
Patrick, can you hear me? Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if the Division of Coastal Resources didn't try and correct for what they saw happening in our process where the public was shut out and, correct for a little bit by designating the South Bay significant habitat. Just a new idea. Because they weren't allowed to interfere with by home rule rules, they were not allowed to interfere with our LWRP process. But they were watching a pretty messy, botched thing. Chris, you go ahead.
Well, maybe I can. Tom, you're going to be getting a kind of a flavor of three different personalities, even though we're saying we're not into personalities. And I think part of the strength.
No, I don't mind dealing with the personalities in the room and on Skype.
Okay.
Just not the ones who aren't here.
Well, I'm really not here to hurl accusations. I'm more to sort of be a diagnostician of what might have gone off the rails and mm-hmm. why we're having the difficulties we're having at the present that Tim is articulating. And I think we have to go a little bit into the history, going back to 2005 when the LWRP process started.
Question. Who started the process?
Well, the city of Hudson had done aborted efforts previously that the state rejected.
And because? So,
because they didn't do their homework. They didn't set it up correctly.
I assume there are rules or guidelines to these LWRPs.
Exactly, and that's
right.
That's what I meant by the word mandate,
right.
Which I know has other connotations.
Right.
So they were saying back to the drawing board, going back to 2005.
Can I put one second? Is it an extensive list of guidelines to do an LWRP?
If you go on the website, there are a lot of things that you have to pay attention to, and that's why most municipalities hire consultants to guide them through this. It's very hard for our citizens to do that, although there are probably exceptions to that.
Ultimately, it has to satisfy a federal coastal policy, so yes, it's very involved.
So it's reviewed by a professional...
professional, yeah, I guess you
could
say that.
No, I mean on the state and federal level,
it's
reviewed by...
Oh, it's finally authorized by NOAA.
Okay,
so anyway, there was a major reboot in 2005, and the cement plant had been defeated, mm-hmm. and so it was like turning over a new leaf, and so this is a very promising time, and Patrick was very much involved at that point, mm-hmm. and can talk a lot about that history, but what I want to sort of bring into this discussion is kind of the the legitimacy of the LWRP and how it suffered because there was tremendous community interest in 2005 from the public meetings. There was one that Friends of Hudson and my colleague Susan Falzone moderated at the Basilica in, I think, August or September of 2005, which had a huge turnout. And it was there was a very electric kind of energy in the air, a lot of sense of possibilities and so forth. Now, when you have that kind of human capital there, talking about the beings that Patrick just referred to, you want to sustain that. You want to find an architecture that can support that over time. And that did not happen. And in fact, we can look back from wisdom of hindsight and see very specific ways in which the that community building potential, which is really the heart and soul of the LWRP, was not brought to fruition.
Because did the community fail in this regard? I mean, not rise to the occasion?
Yes, I do, and I would include myself and, mm-hmm. and other people involved that we didn't see the implications of certain things. I'll give you a concrete example.
Okay.
No pun intended. But there was an entity called the South Bay Coalition, which had a lot of heavy hitters on it, including Scenic Hudson. They had been meeting actually for many months, even long before 2005, to talk about the future of the South Bay, and included Friends of Hudson people and other stakeholders in the area. That was dissolved. It was dissolved very early on with the Waterfront Steering Committee. Because we thought that maybe there would be other mechanisms that would take it over.
Hold on a second. The Waterfront Steering Committee, was that a city entity?
Yeah, that was an appointed group that was basically to be the city's guidance of the whole process.
Appointed by the Common Council.
Okay. Yeah.
How many members were on that?
Three appointed and two that the three could appoint themselves.
Okay. So five. I can go into this in more detail because he was very much present at that point. In retrospect, that was a big error because we did not have we didn't have a community mechanism of diverse individuals who were kind of being advocates for the Bay mm-hmm. that we had before. So that was kind of like shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think that the LWRP started off promisingly. It had a number of meetings that were very well attended, and there was a high level of interest. And then something happened. So we're going into 2006, 7, 8. And I think that this is where the lack of expertise in how to facilitate a complex project like this made itself felt. Friends of Hudson called for a mid-course correction to sort of reboot within the reboot to get more community participation. That didn't happen. So
instead, to follow your metaphor, the computer crashed.
Well, yeah. Here's what happened. You know, when you fast forward to 2010 and 11, you have basically LWRP being written. Really being the creature of a very small handful of people.
Okay, that's something I'm interested in. Who then came? So this committee, this five-person committee, did still exist?
No. There was a change of administration, and then a decision to kind of end that that particular committee. So
that committee had no input into the LWRP that went.
Yes, they had input.
Let me just add something here. The most important thing to understand, and I don't mean to be contrary to Chris because I agree with what he's saying, but the complexity of the LWRP is made not only clear, but the steps in which to make it clear to the general public are published in a magnificent guidebook that the state spent over 10 years accumulating the information and how to implement it. I mean, a magnificent piece of work.
Is it available online, Patrick?
It was categorically ignored by the LWRP committee from the very beginning, and that includes everyone on that committee. They ignored everything. So we're in this mess,
Patrick,
because we did not take any of the advice of the state. Yeah.
Without getting into personalities, why do you think it was ignored? Just too complex?
Why what?
Why was the guideline? Why were the guidelines ignored?
You know, Tom, you will have to ask the people that were in charge of that. Okay. I do not know. It was something that I confronted them with constantly. I was told to be quiet, to be patient, that the good things were coming, and they never did. They never formed a committee. They were authorized in the Common Council to make subcommittees, and they never, ever had a one, not a single one, and that is the official right fact.
So yeah.
We were begging to do this. We were begging. We had scores of citizens with different expertise ready to go to work, and none of them were accepted, and they were squashed.
So Chris,
never, ever was there a subcommittee.
So, Chris, who ends up writing the LWRP?
Well, basically, BFJ, the...
BFJ?
Yeah.
Let's get that acronym.
Buckhurst Planners.
Yes. Well, they were the hired consultants.
Oh, they were consultants, yeah.
And they did major portions of the writing, but ultimately...
So presumably they knew how to read the guidelines.
Well, yeah, and they've done a lot of these.
Okay.
They knew how to duck the guidelines is more like it.
Now, I will just say one thing. I won't mention names, but there was an opportunity when Friends of Hesitant had an individual consultation with one of the principals of that project. And I won't name his name, but he basically said, you know, LWRPs are basically kind of dull documents. And I thought to myself as he was saying this, well, of course, if you have that expectation, it's going to turn out that way. But my contention has always been that it doesn't have to be dull, that there's a way in which if you know how to create the architecture for community involvement and you sustain it over time with expertise at the top and also, as Patrick said, committees, you have the ingredients for a document that people feel ownership
You're
of.
You're forgetting about the laws, though, the laws that are written in there. Those are written by a lawyer, a city lawyer.
The laws that are written into what?
Into the LWRP. It's a body of laws. It's the coastal consistency review laws are the environmental laws of the LWRP, adapted to our area.
Let me step back for a second, though. So the committee is sort of cut off. The city decides to hire a consultant. Not totally unusual, right? I mean, that's not...
Standard.
I mean, especially since...
That's right. No, that's...
Basically, you'll excuse me, the citizenry, as expressed through the five committee members, failed, sort of.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right. Yeah.
So they get cut off. The city then decides to hire a consultant.
Right.
Well,
now, other cities have used consultants, right? I mean, it's not completely out of...
I don't think we should get into this. This is undergrowth stuff.
Okay.
I mean, because this history goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's not going to pay off.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Well, I just,
you know, when we talk about lack of citizen involvement, I'm saying there were opportunities, there were occasions.
Well, there was an opportunity last year with another program in the Division of Coastal Resources. It's part of the whole suite.
Right.
And what they did, the BOA Steering Committee, the public didn't even know this program existed. It's got the same guidelines as the LWRP. Mm-hmm. The steering committee took it upon itself, the BOA steering committee this time, which is about brownfields and more grants, they took it upon themselves to say, you know what, the public is fatigued from so much of this LWRP stuff since 2007. That was the last workshops. Mm-hmm. Those were the last workshops on the LWRP. They're so fatigued, we're going to cut them out. So they did the whole program secretly. They submitted it to the state last autumn, and then they asked the public after they submitted it for a hearing. Nobody showed up because we never heard of it.
Listen, I think that there's something that really needs to be stated here. And this is not name calling. This is actually the essence of the United States of America and its democracy, is that the local governments basically do anything they want with the people that are in power. And the true sense of democracy, as it actually was hopefully going to work with the LWRP, was always corrupted in that sense. I'm not talking people, I'm talking a systemic corruption and a blockage of the democratic process in relationship to just allowing people to be a part of the process.
The keyword is consensus.
Patrick,
and I will give
you,
go
ahead.
I want to give you just one piece of history that's very important for everyone to understand, and I think it will put it in context. In 2002, when I looked at the document of the LWRP, it had a stamp on it from 1989 that said that This was Schuster. This was the hired consultant. I looked at it, and the review stamped with his thing was 2002. And I called up Dan Schuster, and I said, Dan, wow, this revision's quite something. He said, I haven't spoken to the city since 1989.
That's talking about deep history. So you mean there was LWRP proposed in 1989?
No, we had a different consultant.
That was
Patrick, let me
that
just...
That was...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Patrick.
It's the LWRP has been going on for well over 20 years. The thing is that my point is that the government
doesn't, get us to 1980. Oh, okay.
Really have any sense of wanting the people to be involved. That's been totally consistent. And so, therefore, the only hope we have is that the people actually do get involved. And that's it.
Did Dan Schuster mind that his document had been rewritten and attributed to him?
That's right, and he said, this is not right. I never did that. They committed fraud against the people of the city.
Not the first
time. That's when I started working on the LWRP, which all the powers that be had pushed it down into a shelf. No one was aware of it.
Okay, once again, Patrick, we're talking about the powers that be and the people, the powers that be and the people. It seems to me it's easy to forget that the powers that be are the people as well. I mean, we do elect them. I mean, I'm not sure I can...
this is the point. The point is that, no, you're talking about a civics lessons, Tom. You're talking civics that you learned in school.
Yeah,
that
of course.
That is not true. It's not true. Doesn't exist. It's not about
really?
The people.
Nobody stopped me from voting locally.
Listen, I vote, and I'm a part of the process.
Look, I'm with you, Patrick, but I just want to be clear.
This is the winner-take-all bullshit, excuse my language, king. The king wins all, or the queen. That's what it's about.
Tom,
and the people just eat the cake.
If you vote on a Board of Elections issue and they don't like your vote, they'll throw it out. So your vote doesn't mean much around here. That's why nobody went to
We're talking about the living beings of the South Bay, and the state talks about this all the time, that there is worth to the ecology,
mm-hmm.
there is worth to the living beings of the river, there's actually real monetary worth to it.
Well,
so,
Patrick,
therefore... Yes?
I think it's time to talk about a consistency review. There's not just worth to it. They've built up an elaborate policy structure that comes down from the Coastal Zone Management Act, and we're supposed to adapt these things here, and the LWRP did that in language that was let's talk about that language. What's the Coastal Consistency Review, Patrick? Would you answer that?
There's two parts to it. One of them is the state in relationship to the coastal policies, the 44 policies, and then there's also the federal government, which has certain leverage over the state, which are actually related to laws in terms of estuaries, federal waterways, etc. So all of those things are supposed to be consistent in this adoption of the LWRP, which has no enforcement capability until it's actually passed the review and is in place. But the problem is that once it's in place, it's the local government that
makes Patrick,
it stewards and
given everything it. Both you and Tim have said, it seems to me the LWRP can never be in place the way it exists because it won't pass muster.
Well, if they get the three conditions, it will. Then the state will authorize it. We don't really want that to happen.
And
for the sake of the ecology,
it's a mystery. It's a mystery to us why this 10 acres is connected to the passing of this. It's like something that came out of left field, even though
let me look at it in
retrospect.
Patrick, hold on one
wacky.
Second. Hold on one second, because I want to. We only have 15 minutes left, and I want to get to those 10 acres, because that's really sort of what we're here about today, in a way. We've had a lot of background, how the LWRP evolved a bit. Right now, at issue in the city, is this question of the 10 plus. It is plus, right?
No, it's just under 10.
Oh, just under.
9.
Sorry, I thought it was just over.
6.8, I think.
Just under 10 acres.
9.86.
On the north side of the South Bay, I guess you'd call it? Or is that?
No, it's right at the mouth of the creek.
Presently at, currently at that site, is docking area of about 3 or 4 acres.
Well, you're kind of mixing a few things up because they're two different parcels, tax parcels, and Holcomb owns all of it. They own the entire South Bay. They have a port that they want to hold on to for aggregate.
Which is how many acres?
That's approximately 8.7 acres.
Okay. Oh, so this
actually
this,
pretty exact,
this,
isn't it?
These roughly 10 acres are south of that port?
That's right.
It does not include the port.
That's right. It does not. Yeah. So 8.7 acre port.
So right now, and I got to say, I too was quite amazed when a deal was announced. And believe me, there's been more argument about whether it's a deal, a negotiation, a sale. It's not even clear what it is. But there was going to be a transference, how about that, of this land from Holcomb to the city. But the thing that outraged many of us, including myself, were some of the stipulations, which just seemed unbelievable. One of them, the most outrageous, was a 50-year promise on some of the conditions, which is to anybody across the political spectrum, just has to see that as being...
Well, what's happened now is that Holcomb's walked away from the deal, and they were walking away from the deal
in
January.
They never really seemed to want the deal.
No, they never did seem to want it, did they? They were busy selling it to someone else.
So the question is, well, at a recent Common Council meeting, the Common Council president held up an old drawing of the original cement plant proposed for that site. His argument was, and this is what I'd like you to address, that the city is a better steward of those 10 acres for the simple reason if the city is not the steward, Holcomb might try to reinvigorate their plan.
Impossible. That'll never happen. The city's plans are already well known to build a parking lot, a marina, to move the state boat launch down there. None of it's been thought out. None of the feasibility has been dealt with, and the state is against moving any of it down there because of the submerged aquatic vegetation. Now that's the DEC speaking. So this
Department
plan
of Environmental
Conservation. It's another state agency. Well, they oversee CEQA, actually. Mm-hmm. That CEQA goes through the DEC.
Okay.
So this plan to extend the dock, a 10-year-old antique plan, was cheap theatrics. It's never going to happen. In fact, the city is the threat down there because if and when the city gets an authorized LWRP, a 3-person panel will have consistency review authority over all of these agencies that would otherwise...
That consistency review authority means they would be overseeing the implementation of the LWRP?
Go ahead, Patrick. Patrick?
Listen, this whole thing is related to the fact that what the city is trying to do is to do something that they're calling a gift and it is not. And so the problem, I think, for all of us is to let's make it a clean deal. If it's a clean deal, then what are we arguing about?
What do you mean, Patrick, by a clean deal?
It's not. If it was a gift, then there'd be no strings attached.
Okay.
And there's tons of gifts.
May I interrupt about a clean deal? So we're going to get a parking lot down there, first by showing that the land is clean. And that's the phrase that the city attorney uses. The land's clean.
Tim, who determined
it was clean?
Whoa, Tim, back up a second. I know what you're getting into here. And while I know you're right, I know that Standard Oil did once have a site there. I think Cheryl Roberts, who is the city attorney, was probably correct in saying... Well,
you just mentioned someone's name.
Oh, my God.
You just mentioned someone's name.
Because
does
I'm going
to
mention...
we need to be able to mention names?
No. Only because I'm going to mention it positively. I think she is correct that if that is the case, which we know to be the case, they will be responsible for cleaning up that site.
No, that's not how it works at all. And may I say that when Cheryl Roberts and Don Moore, now we're going to have names come into it, when they signed when they submitted a form, an EAF, to the state, environmental assessment form, they went through all those questions. And they said, basically, they said the site's clean.
I know that's unclean. We know that.
That's unclean. We don't know. People are not talking about how they cheated. So a criminal complaint was made to the state attorney general based on that document. People don't know these things.
I agree, but I'm not sure. I mean, I would never say that they were that was intentional. You can't prove that that was intentional here now. I mean, it's just not fair to accuse them that on the air.
Okay, well, people can read the 22-page criminal complaint to the Attorney General and decide for themselves.
Which is, by the way, I think available on the South Bay Task Force
website.
No,
it's not available. It's not available at all.
Oh, it's not.
I waited for the Attorney General to get back to the task force.
But it was submitted by the task force?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I got to say one more thing to get away from this kind of right and wrong and different stuff is that it's very important that the listeners understand what it is we're talking about, specifically the life and the ecology of the South Bay and how important it is to the quality of the city in posterity. It's very important that people actually be concerned.
So basically,
and when you look at the Hudson Sloop Club and you look at Kite's Nest and Basilica and how they're really working to get people involved and educated in it, this is what we really need to happen so that these people cannot just walk over us and do whatever they want and destroy what is the posterity for the city.
So,
I mean,
Patrick,
please, people, pay attention.
Patrick, essentially you're saying no development at all along that part of the waterfront.
For now.
Forever.
No, not forever. Wait till this generation disappears. Look at what this city's done with its properties that it has. They're totally irresponsible. Let's wait for another generation and we'll fix this thing and we'll move forward in a visionary way, a way that flows with the river.
Listen, Rick's point, they dumped riprap on, which is the last choice and the worst choice for being stewards of the river, and they did it.
Currently being investigated.
They did it actually illegal.
They're being investigated by the Army Corps of Engineers. It's being investigated by the state.
And do we want the city to own more property so they can do whatever the hell they want? This is what it's about.
I understand,
Patrick. It's not about the people.
I understand that, but the argument is being made that the city is less likely to do something than private interests.
What do you mean?
You've got it wrong. Incorrect.
Backwards.
That's wrong. And the thing is that the whole point of holding that old map up, one of the primary
reasons, if you read the
document of the that the state put out about denying St. Lawrence cement, was specifically because it was out of scale with what was there in relationship to the river. That's a fiction that would never, ever have happened.
And the significant habitat
now for fear is
the significant habitat didn't exist then. And there are all kinds of new regulations.
That's right.
Okay, do you realize the mayor seems to be on your side?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I really appreciate that.
If you were at that meeting, he said that he actually believes the city should focus on developing what it has and leaving that in private hands.
Aside from our little Fergery history, the only thing I disagree with the mayor on is his choice of corporate counsel.
That seems to be an issue in the town, and of course the corporate counsel is appointed at the by the mayor. So I don't know how we change that.
Otherwise, he's got my vote.
Remember, John, what you don't know, or maybe you don't remember, or don't have a history of, is that the Common Council had the ability to hire counsel, but the power elite maneuvered it so that we could not.
The people didn't want it, Patrick.
Yeah, I've talked about that with members on the council, and that's just, I don't know why, I don't know the details, but it's not possible.
The people voted it down, and we can have another referendum.
Oh, you're saying we need a referendum to allow the council to have its own attorney.
Or some sort of a vote, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember.
Go ahead, Patrick. Patrick, I understand.
Remember, the biggest part that the framers of this latest LWRP had to take in mind was that the state required them to include the vision statement that was made with the initiative that was created actually by the Hudson Opera House. It was never, ever given the stamp of approval by the city because of political reasons, and the state said you have to include the vision plan as part of the LWRP planning, and it was, and they paid lip service to it, but the fact is the city never took it to the next step, and you can read the vision plan cover letter, it said, now it's time to take it to the Common Council, and I will not mention the mayor, the king of all, made sure it would not happen, and it did not. And we are strapped with a process that includes every other administration since that has refused the people to have a powerful voice like they did with the vision plan and like the state recognized it. So this is the history. This
Patrick, I was a little worried, and Tom was too, and Chris, about getting too bogged down in history. And the reason for that is, although it's all necessary to know, is that this is a forward-looking moment. And what we would like to do is wait on this. Wait on the LWRP. Wait for another generation after this old boy network is gone. Because they're going to go. And then we'll know how to take care of things.
Let me ask you one last question, because we're running out of time. Now, you said there are guidelines to writing an LWRP, and it will be reviewed at the state, just the state level?
Currently being reviewed at the state first, and then at NOAA, at the federal level.
So what's to make you think that'll be approved by either?
I don't think it will be approved by either, which is why I think we should start planning for the next phase, which is taking it back.
What do you mean, taking it back?
Well the state will send it back, or will request the LWRP back. And the handful, the clique that commandeered it, they have to get out of the way.
Look, I want to tell you something. I think from talking to Common Council members, I think, well, as you know, some of them are pretty new to the whole issue and are very confused by it. And, you know, and being on the council, of course, it's in their interest to want control because that's why they're there.
That's right.
On the other hand, it seems to me that if it does get kicked back, then it's automatically, I mean, it's almost a no-brainer that it will if it fails in the way you say it does. Then
I hope you're right, Tom. I hope you're right.
Then maybe things look actually pretty good for this.
Well, unfortunately, we need aldermen who listen to their constituents. And, I'm fortunate to have one alderman.
I think
who
they
does.
Do. I think
no,
they
I
do.
Don't think they do, because I'm a constituent and I can't reach
them. I am too.
Well, I don't know. Nobody talks to me, and I know all this stuff, and I know all the laws.
I want to hear a Common Council person stand up with the guidelines of the state in their hand, which nobody can claim better information, and say, we're going to follow this plan, these guidelines,
I like that, Patrick.
And make
Patrick.
A real LWRP.
Patrick.
That's what I want.
I think that's the perfect way to end, because I think it puts out a challenge to the Common Council. Stand up with the LWRP in hand and demonstrate how the current proposal meets those standards. I'm glad you said that, because I think that's really...
That's it.
A good place to be right
Spot
now.
Spot on.
Chris, you have one last comment?
Well, yeah, I think the moral of the tale is that you need to have a bottom-up process that really has confers legitimacy on the results. And we faltered badly in that. I think maybe we've learned from the mistakes of the last 8 years, and hopefully we can build on that for a better alternative in the future. And I think it means more public participation, and also skills in how to manage that participation.
The word consensus is central to all these
You know, I
of course
agree with you guys, but I also know, I mean, I'm not in a position to have to do anything on the city level, but I also know that, let's face it, it's easier and more expedient to not involve a lot of people. I mean, at some point you have to cut off everybody and just get something done.
Well, that's not what the guidelines say, actually.
No, I understand. I understand.
And
I understand
the guidelines use the word consensus over and over. And on the first page
of
the
LWRP... Does that mean we put the proposal out to a vote?
No, it means we don't shut the public out so they don't even know that a BOA program exists.
Of course.
Wow.
Of course.
That was astonishing.
Which? Oh, that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, we didn't even know the program is happening. Thank you,
okay.
Tom.
Okay. I want to thank my guests, Chris Reed, Timothy O'Connor, excuse me, and... the great and indefatigable Patrick Doyle, coming to us live through Skype. Patrick, always a pleasure to talk to you. I hope we get together next time you're in town. Say hi to your lovely family for me. And that's
it. I will.
It.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
it.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
You're welcome. So Patrick gave us a real agenda here, folks. It's mainly a shout out to the Common Council. Common Council, do your job. Look at that LWRP. I know it's a long document. I know it's a big pain in the butt. I can't deal with it myself. I keep wanting to, but it's just like, it's a lot of work. But I guess that's the difference. You were elected to do that work. So Come on, guys, and you know who I'm talking to, because you know I'm friends with a couple of you guys, and I know you're busy. I know the job doesn't pay much, but I don't think you went there for that reason. Got you know wanted to be elected, and there are some new people trying to get on the council, so keep that in mind as you run for office. So this has been a special edition of the morning, what used to be Victor Mendolia's That Issue show. Victor's no longer doing the show for the obvious reason that he himself is now running for mayor. Victor, that challenge goes out to you also. LWRP in your hand. Learn it and try not to make the mistakes you made with the Viridian issue. That's all. Thanks.